You're listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer.
All right, you're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, and this is Radio Caravan, and good morning, Laguna Beach. My co-host, Robert Palmer, happens to be on vacation this week and next, and so stepping in on his behalf is our healthy lifestyle coach, Miss Jill Harvey. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Good. Now, what's up with Robert, by the way? Why is he traveling to...
China? Yeah, I think he's there possibly, since our show is about stem cells. My thought is maybe he's researching infusing Patron with stem cells.
Ah, Patron.
I don't know, right?
Gotcha. Robert likes his Patron. He's brought it in a few mornings. Hey, by the way, Radio Caravan appears 8 p.m. Saturdays and 12 noon Sundays on Cox Channel 3, which reaches about 250,000 cable subscribers in Orange County and Palos Verdes. And tonight we have, I think it's Terry Corwin, actually, who was here about a month ago, and she is founder and executive director of Lion's Heart, a nonprofit community service organization for teens. She was named one of 20 women to watch by OC Metro Magazine, and she appeared on the Katie Couric Show as Women Who Should Be Famous.
Wow.
So that's tonight, 8 p.m. and 12 noon Sunday. And then I got a phone call from our friend Sean Jones. April, are you on the mic as well?
I am.
Nice. And Sean Jones is appearing this weekend where?
He is at Lucille's Barbecue tonight.
Okay, which is in off Lake Forest, I believe?
Yeah.
Or El Toro. So.
Yeah,
El Toro. Okay.
And then tomorrow night here in Laguna Beach at the Wine Gallery.
At the Wine Gallery.
Right downstairs.
Right downstairs. And that's tomorrow night. Do you know what time by chance?
I think about 6, I want to say.
Okay, 6. And that would be an acoustic set, I'm assuming.
Yep, yeah? Solo acoustic. Should be good.
Yeah, Sean Jones, a great musician. We've had him on the show. If you want to go and check him out online, please do. We did a really great show with him. Hey, in the studio this morning, we've got an impressive group of individuals and professionals. We're here to talk, as Jill has mentioned, about stem cell therapy. And I wrote this down from the National Institutes of Health, which claims that the stem cell therapy offers, and I'm going to read this direct quote, a renewable source of replacement cells and tissues to treat a myriad of diseases, conditions, and disabilities, including Parkinson's disease, spinal cord injury, burns, heart disease, diabetes, and arthritis.
I'm excited.
So in the studio today, we have Dr. Karen Sun, who is a practitioner of both conventional and alternative medicines. She's the founder of Integrate, say the word for me.
Integrative.
Integrative Wellness Center in Irvine, California. She's also author of Vitality Now, a complete anti-aging guide to enhance your health and vitality. Very nice. Welcome.
Thank you.
And
nice
we also have, of course, a returning guest, Dr. Lester Lee, a distinguished Orange County medical professional on anti-aging. Dr. Lee has worked and treated professional athletes, Olympic athletes, and perhaps his greatest claim to fame is he's appeared on the Real Housewives of Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
Not once, not twice, but three times.
Wow.
Is that true?
That's what I heard.
Are we picking up him? Okay, too, even though he's away from the microphone. Great. Dr. Sun, I wanted to talk with you briefly, if I could. For those who don't know anything about stem cells and stem cell therapy, could you help explain to us what exactly they are and how they work?
As you know, stem cell is stem cell is the undifferentiated cells that has the potential to develop into any type of tissue that's possible, that's needed. We basically have two types of stem cell. One's embryonic stem cell. The other one is adult stem cell. When the fertilized egg become about 8 cells, those are the embryonic stem cell. They have the ability to develop into our brain cells, our liver, our heart. So they just have the unlimited potential to develop into any cell that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
Adult stem cell are the similar type of stem cell that our body carries after we were born. it does not have as much, it's not as potent as the embryonic stem cell,
right.
But still possess the same ability to develop into most of the tissues needed in our body.
Got you. So how does one go about accessing their stem cells? How does one harvest stem cells from their body?
There are different ways. One is from liposuction, because mm-hmm. we have a lot of adult stem cells in our fatty tissue in the abdominal area.
Okay.
Another one is bone marrow. Mm-hmm. The third one is from our blood to extract the stem cell out.
Okay. And Dr. Lee, I know you're sort of, involved in sort of the stem cell therapy treatment program.
Yes.
Yeah. What's your spin on it? I mean, we talked about this before briefly in another show. I used the word, it seems sort of Frankensteinian in a way, that it seems sort of like this mad scientist on the top of the hill creating these, new organs, let's say. But really, how can you explain it in such a way that we get it, we understand it, we know where it's going and headed?
Well, stem cell therapy is not necessarily new to our part of our practice of regenerative medicine. As Dr. Sun had mentioned, it is a very vital part of our replacement, regeneration, and healing process. Myself, having arthritis of my knees, my shoulders, being a little mature, I want to experience stem cell treatment myself, which I just underwent about 2 weeks ago. And as Dr. Sun mentioned, it's harvesting mini liposuction from my abdominal area. There is a centrifuge machine that separates.
Well, let me back up. Let me take this one step at a time, first of all. You went in for a stem cell therapy procedure.
Correct.
And this was the first time you've done this.
Yes.
And you were harvesting adult stem cells.
Correct.
And so the process you went through to harvest those adult stem cells, now explain to me exactly how that process worked.
Harvesting the stem cells, adult stem cells, not embryonic,
right.
Again, they are mature adult stem cells that can, again, differentiate into bone, cartilage, other organ tissues. Now, part of these stem cells were injected intravenously into me after it was harvested and separated from my own fat, and then part of it was mixed with my platelets, which were obtained from my vein, spun down, called platelet-rich plasma, or PRP. Part of that is mixed with my stem cells and infused into my shoulder and or knee. In my case, it was to my left knee because I have degenerative arthritis in that left knee and chronic pain.
So we were there filming this. And so you were laying on the table. You were wide awake during the process.
Yes, I was.
Yeah. There was some liposuction that was going on in the abdominal area. They were basically sticking a tube into your abdominal area to pull out some of those fat cells.
Correct.
Those fat cells were then placed into this sort of machine.
Yes.
And
it's a centrifuge machine.
And then those stem cells, what, when they get into that machine? How do they kind of?
Well, it's kind of like a merry-go-round. Okay. They spin around, and then at a high revolution, of course, and it separates out debris, it separates out the fat, the things that we don't want to be infused, say, into me. And the machine, the technology machine is such that when mixed with certain agents called collagenase, other ingredients, it separates out the stuff we want out of it, the good stuff, the stem cells. Those are the portions that are now sifted out. Not a lot of it, maybe just 12, 16 cc's, depending on how much fat is introduced in the machine. And then that is harvested and then, again, injected back into me.
And you wanted it injected into your scalp. You wanted it injected into your knee because you have an arthritic knee.
Correct.
And this was several weeks ago. Now, you're about to share with me anecdotal information. This is only your personal experience in terms of the results of that procedure.
Correct.
And what was the? What are the results currently? I mean,
well, one, since I'm in my early 60s, I wanted to have a little more finer texture to my skin, a little more refreshed look, a little more rejuvenation, maybe even a little more hair. Stem cells can help differentiate and stimulate follicle hair growth. It enhances elastin, collagen, fibroblast formation, fancy terms. Those are in my skin of my face and helps my face tighten up. It helps grow new supporting connective structures. My left knee being arthritic, I normally wake up with pain in the morning. It's stiff. It takes me a little while to get going before the pain goes away. As about 5 days after the treatment, I really actually didn't have much pain.
Mm-hmm. And how do we know it's not some sort of placebo effect here, that it's just not the mind telling you that you went through this procedure and, by the way, here are the results?
Well, part of that is because a number of our patients we've done for the past number of months have had similar effects and similar responses from different diagnoses and different pathologies, from colitis to diabetes to abnormal liver functions. And one of the things that I thought, would it be a placebo effect on myself because, well, I'm getting this interesting therapy is supposed to help regenerate me and refresh me and give me more energy, which it did. So how can I determine was a placebo effect? But looking at a number of patients we have harvested a similar procedure and injected and stem cell transplant, they had similar responses.
Okay. Dr. Sun, I know that you traveled overseas when you first came across this sort of concept of the stem cell therapy procedures. Yes, you traveled to what country, by the way?
China.
To China, specifically for to learn about stem cell therapy?
No, at that time I was very interested to find out what they were doing in China, and I happened to have a friend who have a stem cell center in Shanghai.
Okay.
So I went there and together with John, and we both did stem cell therapy on ourselves, and we had liposuction to get adult stem cells, and we also had a umbilical cord stem cell.
And so you went for specifically what purpose?
To see what the treatment can do for me.
And what treatment did you need? Where did you need some help on?
At that time, I only did IV, which was intravenously. And what I noticed was that my energy just increased tremendously. Mm-hmm. I was flying back. The flight was 15 hours, and I flew back in the morning. I worked all day, and I worked through the night, too, to clean the house. Mm-hmm. So I had boundless energy. I was very amazed about it.
You got more energy as a result of this sort of adult stem cell
right.
therapy treatment program?
Mm-hmm. Just feel much better in terms of your emotion, mm-hmm. Your energy.
Did we also talk, you had a little bit of a back pain, too, at the time?
Okay. That time, I did not receive any treatment okay. to my back. I have chronic scoliosis, so chronic upper and lower back pain mm-hmm. for many years. So I did another stem cell treatment recently, about 3 months ago.
Okay.
And after that, this time, actor Lester Lee did a injection for me to the lumbar spine area.
Right.
And my back pain went away.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, doctors left to ask this question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad was your pain before the procedure?
Since it was chronic, it's really not that bad. It's okay. about 4 or 5.
Okay.
But after the treatment, it was totally gone.
Right. What does the sort of the scientific studies, what do the scientific studies or the clinical trials suggest in terms of adult stem cell therapy treatments? Is there any sort of literature out there that supports sort of the benefits of the program? Less Dr. Lee or Dr. Sun?
I believe there are certain studies, for instance, especially for regeneration of the knee, the cartilage. I read a paper that about 70% of people, after stem cell injection, they have increase of the joint cartilage in within 6 months to a year. So that means those people were the people who need total knee replacement or hip replacement. But now the cartilage has been regenerated, so they don't need those surgery anymore.
Hmm.
I have a question, if I may. So stem cells, their job is to replicate, yes, and divide. How would you know if you're injecting it into your knee, you're injecting it into your skin for the fibroblasts to reactivate or to the scalp, how do the cells know to differentiate or fulfill the required cells that you are trying to activate? How do they know to do that? Are they programmed to do that, or...?
Apparently, stem cell has the mind of its own. What it does is...
We're smart guys.
Right.
Like a smartphone or yes. smart cells.
And once they stay in the local tissue, there must be some growth factor locally, so they can develop into the tissue in that area.
Great.
Last question here, and then we've got some other guests coming in who have all sorts of contributions here to this particular topic. What are the possibilities of, I don't want you to, you know, what are the possibilities of this sort of stem cell therapy treatments for patients around the country and around the world? Dr. Lee?
Well, I could see the the future of biotechnology and a more greater usage, utilization of stem cell treatments for diabetes, arthritides, autoimmune disorders, depression, autism, degenerative myelin. Dr. Gottlieb, who's going to be one of the guest speakers coming up also, can probably elaborate a little more on that. But there's a tremendous amount of international research in the literature as well as going ongoing institutions that are finding great benefits utilizing adult stem cells, fat-derived and embryonic, and umbilical cord blood. Certainly here in the United States, we're more limited, at least in private practice, to fat-derived adult stem cells, not necessarily that we utilize embryonic or umbilical cord blood. But I do see a phenomenal, huge influence of being part of the complementary medicine or regenerative medicine in the future.
Certainly, Dr. Sun, these sorts of therapies are available to people in this country?
Yes.
Yes? And do you suggest people who are suffering from some of these debilitating diseases or pains, and that they sort of talk to their doctor about the possibility of stem cell therapy? And I guess to add more complication to my question, is the cost factor involved here, and is it accessible for people?
I think stem cell therapy will be the future of medicine, mm-hmm. because when you think of it, it's using your own cell to regenerate your own body. It's organic, it's natural. And there's no downside, basically. The cost, yes, it can be a factor, but most people, I believe, if they have a chronic pain or life is miserable, to put up a small amount like $10,000 for a cure, no, I shouldn't say the cure, to have improvement of their condition. It's really worth it. It's very cost effective.
Certainly, it's not an end all, and you're also recommending with your wellness center, I'm assuming, diet and exercise and all those other components that go to a healthy lifestyle, yes?
Exactly. It's like when you plant a new tree. You want to plow the field, you want to fertilize it so the tree can grow.
Right. Mm-hmm. How long do the results last cosmetically? So, when we're looking at anti-aging, is there an end point? Do you have to have it redone?
Well, and like I said, it really depends on how well you're taking care of yourself.
Okay.
If you do a good care, it can last a long time.
Beautiful.
Hey, one last question before we break here, and then we're going to bring in Professor Gottlieb, and that is we have an intern here, Katie Fetters. Katie, if you're out there, come on in for me, young lady. And she had a question that I didn't know the answer to, obviously, but she was curious to ask you the following question, if you don't mind. Yes.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a mild cerebral palsy on the left side of my body, and I was just curious to know about any research done on the effects of stem cell therapy and something like cerebral palsy, if you know any much about it.
Dr. Gottlieb?
We can ask Dr. Gottlieb that question. You don't know the answer to the question necessarily?
Right. We don't know about the study, but theoretically, if stem cell has the ability to develop into any cell, then nerve cells, one of the cells.
Interesting.
Nice. All right, thank you. Hey, you're listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes here with my co-host Jill Harvey. This, of course, is Radio Caravan. We're going to take a one-minute musical break and come back, and we've got a lot more to chat about, stem cell therapy, with Professor Gottlieb from UCI. So, April, take us out with a little music, please.
Thank you. How can you preach when you've taught everyone?
shut the door, turn off the power, stop your mind, you tell us your soul is leaking, and it needs a fixing. Everything through, standing on the brink of a lonely game of solitaire. Tell us about how the world is at your feet. Oh yes, and there's nothing to do but quietly make an exit.
You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, here with my guest co-host, Jill Harvey. And this, of course, is Radio Caravan. Jill, what did you think of the first segment there on stem cell therapy?
I think it's exciting. I think, we look at the noble causes of treating central nervous system disorders and Parkinson's, but also the anti-aging, that kind of vanity side. I think that's exciting as well.
You know, you come from a background where you're very holistic. You're very
yes.
natural. You're a yoga instructor. You study this sort of stuff. I'm curious. We talked a couple of weeks ago about this, and you said you typically wouldn't recommend these sorts of therapies. But when it came to stem cell therapy, you were sort of okay with it.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think when it's coming from your own body's tissue, I think that makes more sense. You know, when we think of rejection or autoimmune disorder with it or an immune response with it, I think when it's your own body's tissue, it's exciting. I think there's more favorable outcome from that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, so in the studio, we have the distinguished Professor Sidney Golub. And I'm going to try to get this title out if I can. Professor Emeritus of the Microbiology and Molecular Genetics School of Medicine at the University of California, Irvine. His research interests are in the areas of stem cell policy and research ethics. Fair enough?
Right.
Yeah, good morning, by the way. Thank you for coming down. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah. So you were listening on the outside room. You heard some of the conversation that was going on. I wanted to kind of start with you to understand and know exactly what the scientific studies and clinical trials are when it comes to stem cell therapy.
Good question, Scott.
Thank you, sir. I worked hard on it.
Well, it's the right question because clinical trials are the best way we have available to tell whether something really works. You asked a very, very pertinent question in the previous segment about how to distinguish a result from a placebo effect. We do have, placebo effects are real. Mm. There are bodies attempt to heal itself and we are subject to suggestion that processes should go on and so on. And so placebo effects are important. And one way we try to distinguish real effects and real problems, beneficial effects or negative effects, is with controlled clinical trials in which groups are compared, all treated the same way for the same kinds of conditions. Stem cells, let me agree with everyone beforehand, stem cells are an enormously exciting area of science.
Okay.
The potential is huge. But they're just now really entering the phase of clinical trials for proof. And one way anybody can find out is to go to a website maintained by the Food and Drug Administration called clinicaltrials.gov. And there you can see the list of all the clinical trials that are ongoing. And you can divide them up by ask which ones are available in California if you're interested in treatment for a certain condition. You can ask where they are, what are they. And so last night I took a look and asked, how many clinical trials are ongoing using adult stem cells? There are over 4,400 clinical trials ongoing in this country that have been registered through the FDA for adult stem cells.
Am I to understand that's an impressive number, or is that a low number of...
No, that's pretty good for a field that's only about 10 or 15 years old. That's pretty...
Great, yeah.
Pretty fast progress.
Okay.
If you break, you can break it down. You can say how many are being used to treat this condition or that condition. So just for fun, because my knees ached that morning, I took a look how many are ongoing for joint diseases. And that answer was 66, I believe.
Wow.
Only 17 have been completed. None have yet reported their results.
Mm. Okay.
So it's happening. People are doing these studies. The results are not yet fully clear. And we're anxious to see them in many cases. But the full impact of these cells will be, and these new approaches will be determined by these kinds of rigorous, scientifically designed, carefully controlled comparisons.
So let's compare then the adult stem cell clinical trials and studies that are ongoing to the embryonic stem cell studies and clinical trials that are ongoing.
Yeah, very good. Another good question.
Well, thank you, sir.
You've been doing this for a while, Scott.
Wow.
The embryonic are really interesting. Embryonic stem cells allow you to choose the cell type you want to make. And so with adult stem cells, they're going to be very much limited to certain kinds of tissues. They're what we call tissue-specific stem cells. So skin stem cells will make skin. They may make different parts of the skin, but they'll all make skin. They won't make brain. But embryonic stem cells can make virtually any tissue.
Wow.
And so there are being carefully developed ones that are just reaching clinical trial stage now. Now, the embryonic stem cell field started in 1995. So we're talking about a very new field in scientific terms.
Right.
There was the first report of being able to do that with human cells was only in the mid-1990s, and it takes a while to learn how to do it. This is not something you do in your garage. It takes a lot of technology,
right,
to take embryonic cells, grow them, and then choose the cell type and induce them to make, let's say, cardiac cells to repair heart muscle or nerve cells for central nervous system diseases and so on. And those are just now entering clinical trials. There's the first clinical trial for spinal cord injury.
Exciting.
Was started in this country with cells developed at UCI. We're very proud of that. The very first clinical trial for spinal cord injury. That trial is difficult to do because it's expensive. Spinal cord injury, though devastating, is not terribly common. And so finding fairly, recent cases that might be appropriate for treatment will take a while.
How are these clinical trials or these research studies funded?
A variety of ways.
Okay.
Some are funded with grants from the federal or state government.
Mm-hmm.
Many are funded by biotechnology companies or pharmaceutical companies. Depends on who owns the intellectual property rights.
Of course.
Some are funded from other governments.
And so what are your opinions about the value or benefits of stem cells, whether they're the adult stem cells or the embryonic stem cells?
Well, they're very different situations.
Okay.
And in each situation, we're developing at different rates depending on the pace of the science, the problems encountered, the funding available, and so on. All of this is expensive research.
Right.
None of it comes cheap, and we're... it takes a while to work it through the process. particularly with the FDA, which is rigorous in its safety concerns. And that's their main job, is proving things are safe and effective.
I have a question on that note. Sure. So since it's such a new field, a new science field of study, and there's not been long-term results or results in, are there any areas of concern about what could go? Can anything go wrong? Can there be rejection or, you know, an immune response?
Yes. Things can go wrong.
But we don't know for
sure. That's Murphy's Law, isn't
yeah.
it? If things can go wrong, they will go wrong. There's a real concern, and that's why the FDA has monitored these clinical trials so rigorously. There are risks, and some of those risks are going to be unknown until we do the experiment. Some of them we should be able to anticipate. Let me give you an example. There was a study reported. I shouldn't even call it a study. It was a bad attempt at clinical treatment for cosmetic purposes, where some stem cells were put into a patient's eyelids. They're put in with a filler substance that was a bad choice because it actually induced these cells to differentiate into bone. And so spicules of bone developed in that patient's eyelid. They were painful and difficult.
Wow.
And there was a big uproar about the dangers of inappropriate use of cells.
Right. So in terms of use of stem cell therapies and what's allowed and what's not allowed in this country, can you explain that process for us so we understand the dynamics?
I'm not a representative of the FDA.
Fair enough.
So I don't want to speak for them, but we have had them come out and visit us at our stem cell research center and talk to us about what their expectations are and what their processes are. When you're going, there are some areas that they have chosen not to regulate. Those are areas where the cells are not manipulated. So when you take cells from your own adipose and put it into some other part of the body, that is not regulated by the Food and Drug Administration.
Mm-hmm. So to follow up, when Dr. Lee was in here and Dr. Sun, when they took their own adult stem cells from their own body and re-injected those stem cells back into their bodies, that's allowed.
That is not regulated by the FDA.
That's not regulated by the FDA.
The FDA would only get interested if they took those cells and then started to modify them, started to do something with them, grow them in a laboratory, try to manipulate the genetics of those cells, treat them with chemicals to make them change in some way. So the FDA's position is if the cells are minimally manipulated and your own, that's not our issue. These clinical trials that I described generally use a single source of cells that are grown out in the laboratory in order to get consistency and clinical purity each time. And those would be regulated by the FDA because of the sources of the cells, but also because they have to be treated in a way that allows them to be used in multiple different patients.
A naive question. Are there patients in this country who are being treated with embryonic stem cells?
Yes, there are.
That's allowed under certain conditions?
Under FDA approval, yes.
And right. Isn't that heated debate, though, ethically, religiously? There's some organizations that do debate the use of embryonic cells because they consider it a form of life form. Or
the bioethical issues we discussed the other day, you and I. You want to explain sort of some of those?
Any updates on that?
Okay, there are two very good questions here that are going in two very different directions. So let me take Scott's first and then Jill's.
Okay.
Scott's question was whether there are patients being treated with embryo-derived stem cells. And the answer is yes, it's beginning. I mentioned a study of spinal cord injury. There is a study ongoing that uses them there. there is a study, several studies I'm aware of for the treatment of macular degeneration, common retinal disease, although the ones that are first being tried are the rarer forms of it that are genetically determined. Those are the kind of leading edge of a number of clinical trials that I anticipate over this next 5 to 10 years, you're going to see a flood of them as the field matures. The ethical question,
yes,
is the central issue of using embryonic stem cells, the kind of moral status of these embryos from which the cells are derived. And that's individual determination. People are going to decide it's not right to take this early embryo, usually almost always obtained from in vitro fertilization clinics,
right,
of discarded material, of embryos that are not going to be used to try to make babies, that are in excess. Some people say it's wrong to use them, and those folks are going to make that determination based on their moral beliefs. Others say that it's ethical to use them because it's for greater good.
Right.
And these had no survival capacity anyway. That is, they weren't going to be put into some woman's uterus. They were not going to be made into a baby. They were going to be discarded. 70-80% of them, even in the natural, normal way we make babies, would not survive at this stage.
Right.
Would never know they existed. So many of us feel that it's appropriate. It's for a greater good.
Absolutely.
And no sentient being has been harmed here. But I understand the concern that people have, and I think we have to do it respecting those views and with respect for the process, the materials we're using. They do have important potential.
Absolutely, thank you.
I've got two questions here, two quick questions, and they may not be quick answers, though, we'll see. And that is, I asked this of Dr. Sun and also of Dr. Lee earlier, what do you think are the sort of scientific possibilities and opportunities of this new sort of forming stem cell therapy program, I guess?
I think the possibilities are really very bright, and this is an enormously exciting field with the capacity to regenerate tissues, to repair tissues that we had no way to do before we appreciated the capacities of stem cells. So let me give you a range of what we're doing at UCI.
Right.
And this is not everything that's going on in the world. Right? This is what we're doing here at UC Irvine in our stem cell research center, as well as we're doing a lot of basic research about how stem cells function, what's the biochemical processes, and so on. But we're also studying various forms of central nervous system injury, spinal cord injury, traumatic brain injury, stroke. We're studying chronic neuromuscular diseases such as Huntington's disease, multiple sclerosis,
cerebral palsy.
Not in our unit. I'm not aware of studies on CP.
Okay,
it would be a perfectly reasonable scientific effort. We're just not. It's just not in our program. However, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Retinal diseases, I mentioned macular degeneration. We will have a clinical trial, I believe, within about a year for a rare but terrible disease called retinitis pigmentosa, which is a blinding disease mostly of young people, where we're getting ready to go to the FDA, our group, I hope before the end of the year with a clinical trial plan. We have programs as well in diabetes, wound healing, cancer. It's a field with a lot of activity and a lot of potential.
So the big question is, and I'm sure everybody in this country wants to know the answer to this question, and that is, when will there be enough evidence, clinical trial evidence or scientific research evidence, so that it becomes available to people to use?
I don't know.
Yeah. When do you propose, though? I mean, sometimes these sort of processes can take, what, a dozen years, 2 dozen years before it becomes available? And you know, are you necessarily opposed to the adult stem cell theories who want to go out and kind of capitalize on that opportunity? Multiple questions.
You do that, Scott.
I do it on purpose, but I know you can handle it.
Well, let me take the first one.
All right, please.
It takes time on some of these, and it takes different amounts of time depending on the nature of the disease. So spinal cord injury, because we started there, we have two trials that we're associated with where we're not actually doing the clinical work at UCI, but we provided the cells and tested the cells for companies that are doing these trials. That's actually quite a slow process because neural repair takes time. It's not overnight, and you have to figure out what to measure. So, for example, in spinal cord injury, people think, well, the measurement is, will people get up out of their wheelchair?
Right.
Well, actually, there are important, very important measures that come before that. Increased sensation. Most paraplegics will tell you they want some progress on bladder control, for example. Mm. They'll wait to walk if they can get better quality of life in their current state. So there's lots of things you have to measure. They take time.
When we say time, give me a ballpark here. Give me a range. Years. Okay. A dozen years?
Oh, I think within a decade we'll really know which diseases we can treat effectively.
That's excellent. Great. And then to my second part of my question, what's wrong with the adult stem cell people going out there and sort of capitalizing on the potential possibilities of that therapy or those therapies?
I'm not in the business of judging medical work in the community.
Okay.
That's not my field. But what I've tried to emphasize here is that scientifically designed clinical trials will give you a clear answer. They'll give you a clear answer that's not, I felt better. They'll give you an answer of, 75% of people treated felt better. But these are the side effects that we have to worry about and manage. Mm. And that kind of answer will be ultimately much more useful than good anecdotes, even well-delivered anecdotal evidence. That kind of scientific basis will give us over the long run much more solid basis for moving forward.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Can I ask one more question?
Quick one.
Because I heard quickly, yes, thank you, that there's research with the stem cells. As research is going on, they're also using it. Scientists are finding ways to find the root causes of disease as well. Is this possible, that through the research of stem cells, they're finding root causes of disease?
Stem cells are an enormously powerful technology. Because you can take a cell and make it into a cardiac cell or a brain cell or a liver cell, you can use it to study birth defects. You can how they came
Wonderful.
About. You can use it to study what we call disease in a dish models. You can make a model of a disease right then and there for that patient.
Great.
From their stem cells, model it, change the genetics of those cells, see if it will affect them, try new drugs on them.
So that's exciting.
So the field's potential is enormous. If I predict what will happen in it, I'll be wrong, because it's unpredictable because it is so diverse.
Great. Wonderful. Hey, Professor Golub, thank you so much for coming in, sir. Yes, please. Oh, we wanted to make one shout-out.
I want to give a plug. Yeah.
Give a plug. Put it out there, my friend.
All right. For folks who are interested in this, the Orange County Center for
Contemporary
Art, OCCA, .org, if you want to check their website. A wonderful group of artists in Santa Ana have the art walk every Saturday. It's a fun experience. A group of them came to our research center, learned about stem cells, and have devised an art program, an art show of art inspired by stem cells. So wow. they are having that. It opens September 6th. Goes on for more than a month, but the first Saturday, September 6th and October 4th, we will have scientists from the UCI Stem Cell Research Center, from the Sue and Bill Gross Stem Cell Research Center, there to talk with the public, to explain what we're doing, and you can then see art inspired by it, maybe buy some.
That's so beautiful. Fabulous.
Excellent. All right, we got it out there. You're listening to KIX 93.5 FM, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes here with my co-host this morning, Miss Jill Harvey. This is Radio Caravan. We are back in 60 seconds, April. Take us out with some music, and we're still chatting about stem cell therapies.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes. I have wandered through this world, and as each moment has unfurled, I've been waiting to awaken from these dreams. People go just where they will. I never noticed them until I got this feeling that it's later than it seems. Doctor, my
All right, you're listening to KIX 93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes here with my co-host Jill Harvey, and this, of course, is Radio Caravan. And we're talking this morning about stem cell therapy. And I you know, I get it for listeners and even viewers that it's a complicated subject. We've got medical professionals we've had in here who are explaining it in such a way that we understand it. We've had a professor in here to explain it from his perspective. And now we're kind of coming out this whole issue from an entirely different perspective. Mm-hmm. And I want to first introduce Colette Brauner.
Hello.
Good morning, Colette. And stay close to the mic so we can hear you.
Yes.
And she is a recipient of stem cell therapy. In other words, you've gone through the procedures before.
Yes. I experienced my very first stem cell procedure this last May.
Okay.
And had amazing, life-changing results.
Okay.
So I'm a huge advocate.
Well, let's back up.
Stem cell therapy.
How did you come to know about stem cell therapy? How did that even come to your attention?
it actually was kind of... I don't know how to explain it, really. It came to my attention through John.
Okay, and we might as well introduce John.
Yes.
John Morris, and he's here sort of spearheading an investment group who's going to bring a wellness center to Orange County that emphasizes stem cell therapy.
Yes. John, you experienced your first stem cell procedure back in China about 2.5 years ago. And when we first started dating, he, you know, was kind of delve into a little bit of detail regarding it. And at first it sounded, honestly, a little too sci-fi for me. I didn't really.
Right, right.
It's like, whoa, that's a little Wolverine. You're regenerating your own cells. Is that legal?
Right. Good. All good questions.
Right.
But, you know, at the time, I didn't have excessive amounts of information for myself at my fingertips. Mm-hmm. So being the inquisitive person that I am, I got online and started to really educate myself through different avenues that way. And I really was curious. It's always something, I've always been interested in medicine. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to become a doctor, so I'm not one, but I'll take a look. and through my own curiosities, I found several amounts of information regarding regeneration and things like that. And it really, it kind of hooked, line, and sunk me. So I really...
But, I mean, why you? Why would you be interested in stem cell therapy? What was your purpose?
I'm fairly young compared to the rest of your entourage here.
Thank you for that.
I'm an 80s baby.
Okay.
Great things came from that.
Yeah, sure.
No, but I was an elite gymnast when I was younger. So I've definitely pounded out my ligaments and my tendons and... about the last 2 years ago, I actually was diagnosed with SVT, so supraventricular tachycardia.
Explain that to us.
Okay. On the side, John got me into race car driving.
Mm-hmm.
Anything fast, I love. Mm-hmm. So I was actually behind the wheel during a race, and I experienced, not to dive too much into it, but experienced very traumatic event. Mm-hmm. I blacked out while driving, and that was due to my heart condition. I needed much more blood circulation than was actually possible at the time, and my fingers went numb, my toes went numb, and I blacked out consequently.
That's scary.
It was a little bit scary. Kind of fun, but in the right circumstances. And after that, I benched myself. So consequently, it really disabled me from doing things that I'm very passionate about. I'm very active. I love doing Pilates. I get up in the morning. I'm used to having so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
And at the ripe age of...
right.
soon to be 30 in a few years.
Okay. you were feeling...
I was feeling just below energy level standards.
Okay.
I needed to sleep about 18, 19 hours a day just to function for 2 or 3. And it was beyond miserable for
me. Thus your reason for researching stem cell therapy.
I wanted to do it to see how it would potentially affect my heart.
Okay.
Because of the things that I was experiencing, I couldn't go through a day without having an SVT episode.
Oh.
I couldn't go through 5 minutes without having my heart skyrocket to 150 at resting.
Eesh.
I was exhausted. It caused me to be irritable. That's no way to live.
No, definitely.
And when you're
that
young and you've gone through, you know, being able to have so much energy all the time to suddenly not, it really robs you of a sense of life.
So you went through a stem cell therapy procedure back in May of this year?
Yes.
Where did you have this done?
Down in Newport Beach.
In Newport Beach.
Yes.
And can you describe briefly the process?
Well, I'm fairly slender build, so I was able to eat fast food and ice cream and everything decadent for about 3 weeks.
In order to add weight?
Yes.
Okay.
It dispersed evenly, so that was nice.
That's
but I received a little bit of some liposuction in my stomach, my abdominal area.
Okay.
And it was very interesting. I was fairly coherent during the procedure, so it was very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Minimally invasive. It was not painful at all. The staff was beautiful. I was in and out in about 4 hours.
Wow. Let's let that motorcycle swing by. We used to have an officer in here who'd track that down and give that guy a ticket. That's true. Yeah.
I'll make a citizen's arrest.
So you had the stem cells removed from your body.
Yes. And they spun it down into ripe stem cells. They put it back in an IV.
Okay.
And it was... absolutely remarkable. The results that I felt were absolutely instantaneous.
What do you mean instantaneous? You mean as soon as you stepped off out of their office?
Before I even stepped off of the table, during my IV, I remember saying to John, because you were in the room with me, before that, I had a little bit of fuzzy vision. I've never really been one to be active on wearing my glasses or anything like that. But I remember looking at John and saying, I can see so much detail right now. My eyes are crystal clear.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't feel any of my aches and pains that I did before. Hmm. Being an elite gymnast, I really thrashed my ankles and my lower back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was able to step off of the operating table and walk out of the room.
So I've got to speed this up a little bit, and I apologize, because I want to get to John as well. And that is, so this was back in May. You haven't had a second therapy session since.
No, I haven't. And consequently, I've not had one SVT episode.
That's amazing. Wow.
So, yeah.
And you attribute it, obviously, to the adult stem cells that were reinvested back into your body.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. We got about 5 minutes, John. I apologize for this. but, you know, I mean, I know you went out of your way to come down into Laguna to be here, and I appreciate that. I really do. Let me reintroduce John Morris, who is spearheading an investment group that's bringing stem cell therapy to Orange County in sort of the sense of a new wellness center, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, John, why you? Why would you want to go out of your way to invest resources into a program that on some levels is still sort of uncertain?
You know, 2.5 years ago, I went to Shanghai with Karen's son. And Karen said, John, do you want to go to Shanghai? I said, sure, let's go. That'll be a fun trip. And then she said, we're going to be doing some stem cell therapy. And I had a rotator cuff that was torn on my right shoulder.
Okay.
And I play racquetball constantly and drive race cars and fly planes and helicopters. And I didn't want to have surgery done on my left rotator cuff. If I had surgery done, I couldn't do any of those things for 6 months, and I couldn't get back and forth to a racetrack that I own, going from Southern California there. So I experienced some very similar results as Colette did, where it was almost instantaneous. I was playing badminton the next day after I had the procedure in Shanghai with Karen.
Incredible.
I was back to playing tournament racquetball with my guys that I play racquetball with, back to racing cars. I regenerated my torn rotator cuff. I had a 50% tear on the MRI.
Wow.
I regenerated that back to doing all the things that I love, and I didn't have any downtime.
When you say these results of those of that particular therapy, I mean, is that because your doctor said this is how much it's repaired since the therapy itself? Or is it anecdotal for you?
You know, I haven't gotten another MRI, but I went back to lifting heavier weights and doing all the things that I did before the tear.
Yeah.
And it feels just as good new.
So how do you go from there to now investing resources? I got to believe, by the way, John, we're not going to get specific on this, but I got to believe there are ample amounts of resources that are going to be invested in this particular program, yes?
Yes.
Why?
I just want to do it to kind of give back a little bit and help people. We have some of the... I've already done a lot of my family, a lot of the managers at the racetrack, other people that I know, friends and family. So I just believe in it. I think it's something that can help a lot of people. The Wellness Center would be concentrated around getting people to have a better diet, to exercise properly,
nice.
To be able to mentally prepare themselves through meditation. And it would be centered around the stem cell activities that we can do here. And now we finally got a machine that gives us the proper yields that's FDA approved that the Koreans built that we've been using in Newport Beach.
Yeah. What is the estimated time that this wellness center will open?
Yeah, we've been doing, we're up to about 35 procedures now in Newport Beach. And so we're just doing a model right now.
Okay.
So we hope to have it open within the next 3 to 6 months.
Mm.
But we're actually doing all of it right now in Newport Beach, just in a smaller model that we're using.
Wonderful.
Are you bothered at all? And very quickly, you've got about 1-2 minutes. Are you bothered at all by the fact that we had Professor Golub in, who suggests there aren't necessarily the clinical trials and scientific research studies yet that support some of the anecdotal evidence that's coming out as a result of this stem cell therapy treatments?
No.
I'm living proof.
Yeah.
So.
With the results we've had and my own personal experience and with many other people that I could recite if we had time, I'm just not very patient, and I don't want to wait 10 years or 15 years.
Yeah, beautiful. And you also, lastly, you're along with the process of creating this wellness center, you're going to have a foundation as well?
Yes.
And could you describe very briefly what the foundation's purpose is?
Well, the purpose is to help some of the people that can't really afford it right now, that we feel are cases that we can help people with a certain order and be able to really help those people that just can't quite afford it right now. Yeah. And it will be coming someday in health insurance, I'm sure, but it's going to be a while.
It's more for philanthropic purposes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's wonderful.
I mean, it's a great combination of things you're bringing to Orange County, and I suspect there are a lot of people out there who can use these sorts of therapies who one day are going to be thanking you for bringing it to Orange County. Yeah. So, John, Colette, thank you so much,
thank
both
you.
Of you, for coming
thank
in. Greatly you. Appreciate it. Hey, we've got to go. The Friendship Show is up next. It's going to be a great show, by the way, so if you're going to still listen, please do. This, of course, is KX 93.5 FM, and I'm Scott Hayes here with my co-host Jill Harvey. This is Radio Caravan, and Jill will be back next week.
Next week, yeah.
Robert's still in China, and next week we have author T. Jefferson Parker coming in, who wrote the one of his first books was Laguna Heat, and he's back with a new literary novel coming out, so that'll be a great show as well. April, take us out of here with some music, please.
You've been listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer.